Africa's debt burden and the optimization of natural resources on the continent. From over 1,300 cities and 130 countries, we bring you the Good Morning Africa podcast. Good morning, Africa, and welcome aboard your pulse on everything business in Africa. I am Ritha Dong. For more, follow us on Twitter at the K Financial News, and you can find me at Ritha Dong. Your main story is brought to you by BK Capital. Did you know that you can get up to 10.4% annual interest on your franc investment if you invest with the Aguca Funds? For more information, visit www.bkcapital.rw. Why should African governments strengthen governance and institutionalize debt management capacity? Dr. Akinwumi Adesina, President, African Development Bank Group, returns with his take on how to tackle the African debt crisis.
Now, the inflationary bottlenecks are heightened, but I just want to focus on the fact that the issue of rising debt is of great concern. You got 21 countries that are actually at the risk of high debt distress or are already in debt distress. And so as you have rising interest rates, you have weakening of local currencies, it means the cost of servicing debt continues to rise. And I'll come back to that in what I think are my own thoughts in terms of how we deal with that. But that continues to be a major challenge as sovereign spreads continue to rise. Well, like coming back to what I was saying in terms of the Africa's growth momentum, for us to have that projectile, not the leapfrog thing, require bold policies. Of course, we have to tackle inflation. But I want to say five things before I leave for you all to continue to discuss. Professor Rama will talk about digitalization, which is very, very important for us to have. Better tax administration, which of course you have to expand the domestic fiscal space. All of those things are fundamental things that we know, and we have to continue to do them. But I just want to close with five things that I think are very important for Africa to mobilize the pools of capital that it needs to be able to have faster growth. First, is that a lot more effort needs to be put into domestic resource mobilization. The domestic resource mobilization is hinged on the development of the local capital markets. And so we have to do a lot in terms of that, raise financing local capital markets to meet the rising expenditure needs of our countries. So that's the first point. Second point is the rising debt service costs of many countries, which has been worsened by the weakening of the domestic currencies, requires a reasonable balance to be achieved between external and domestic borrowing. And I believe there ought to be a greater focus on lending local currencies to mitigate this rising foreign exchange risks that we have. And so I hope the panel discussion will go into some of these things, because when people talk about, Jeff talks about the issue of, infrastructure, that you need to borrow to do infrastructure. So if you're borrowing to do infrastructure, but if the revenue streams you're getting from infrastructure assets that you have are in local currency, and you're borrowing contentiously in foreign currency, you're going to have a real problem. I think that's one of the challenges that we have. So developing that local currency financing, it's very key for us to match the revenue streams to the cost of financing that we are having. Third, I believe countries need to do a better job of managing and deriving greater value from the enormous natural resources that they have, through better governance, better transparency, avoiding transfer pricing, and of course making sure you have appropriate value and royalties and taxes to everything that you are generating. One of the things that I find very, very difficult to comprehend is that with all the minerals we have, oil, gas, metals, forest resources, carbon resources, and everything that we have, it's indefensible that Africa is poor. And I think that the wealth of Africa has been undervalued in many, many ways. And we need to do a better job of transparent governance over those natural capital assets, because that's what we have in trillions of dollars. If we aren't using them well, we are not going to be able to have the domestic resources to grow our economy. So I would like to have a little bit more discussion and thought about how do we optimize, how do we use more efficiently the natural resource capital that we have. Unlocking that is going to be the key for us. So where you're talking energy, we've got everything. You've got solar, you've got forest stocks. We're going to be talking later today about the carbon sinks that we have sitting there in the Congo Basin and all of those things. So how do we properly value those things and make sure we can unlock more resources for ourselves is an issue for us to discuss. Fourth, the common framework, the G20 common framework, I think it needs to be accelerated big time. Yes, there are creditor committees that have been set up for coordinating the official and commercial creditors for Niger, for Mali, for Zambia, for Ethiopia, and for Ghana. But let's not kid ourselves. Progress has been made, but we are far from it. As I said in the beginning, we still have 21 countries that are right now at a high risk of debt distress. So the common framework has to be faster. It has to move much faster for us to deal with this lingering debt issue.
And a quick look at the markets. The market segment is powered by the Development Bank of Rwanda. We empower you. Bitcoin rose by almost 6% to $66,000, setting its eye on an all-time high of almost $69,000 reached in November of 2021 on strong demand for US-listed Bitcoin ETFs and expectations of a demand squeeze. Investments totaling $7.35 billion have flowed in since the launch of the US Bitcoin ETFs in January, with notable contributions coming from major fund players such as BlackRock and Fidelity Investments. Looking further, Bitcoin halving set for April, then the reward for mining is cut in half, is expected to cut the supply growth. And a quick trip around Africa. The group of eight OPEC Plus countries that pledged on November 30th last year to implement voluntary production cuts for the first quarter of 2024 have decided to fully extend the cuts until the end of this year's second quarter. Saudi Arabia, Iraq and the UAE, Kuwait, Kazakhstan, Algeria and Oman announced that these 1.7 million barrels per day of voluntary cuts that were initially planned just for the year's first quarter will not be unwound and will continue next year. Russia, which in November pledged to implement voluntary export cuts of 300,000 barrels per day for crude and 200,000 barrels per day for fuel products for the first quarter of this year, has announced the implementation of 471,000 barrels per day voluntary cuts now coming from both crude production and crude exports. While the common view in the market was that the group would partially extend the cuts into this year's second quarter in some form, the latest announcement goes above market expectations. The assumption was that there would be a prompt unwinding of the voluntary cuts in the second quarter, so that OPEC plus crude production would rapidly increase above 36 million barrels per day by May. The updated profile now shows OPEC plus crude production at 34.6 million barrels per day for the whole of second quarter before increasing to around 36.3 million barrels per day in the second half of the year. South African economy rose by 0.1% in quarter four of 2023 compared to the previous quarter's 0.2% decline and below the expected 0.3% growth. Six out of 10 industries contributed to this growth, with the transport sector contributing the most and expanding by 2.9%. Moreover, mining activity rebounded by 2.4%, while manufacturing saw a slight uptick of 0.2% amidst fewer rotational power cuts. However, agriculture and trade experienced steep declines. On the expenditure side, household consumption rose by 0.2% and the changes in inventories contributed 1% point. However, government spending fell 0.3% and fixed investment shrank by 0.2%. Net exports contributed negatively by 1 percentage point, following increases by 0.6% and 4% in exports and imports respectively. Year on year, the GDP grew by 1.2% in quarter four, following a 0.7% decrease in quarter three and above market estimates of 0.9% rise. South Africa's economy grew by 0.6% in 2023, down from 1.9% in the previous year. Africa will be $2.5 trillion short of finance it needs to cope with climate change by 2030. This is according to a UN official, adding that the continent has contributed the least to greenhouse emissions while seeing some of the worst impacts. Africa attracts only 2% of global investments in clean energy but needs $2.8 trillion of investment in the sector by 2030. United Nations Economic Commission for Africa Chief Economist Hanan Morse told a conference in Zimbabwe warning against the consequences of underfunding. Despite producing low emissions compared to other continents, climate change is costing African countries 5% of its gross domestic product annually. Thank you for always waking up with us. Good Morning Africa is a product of the K Financial. If you have suggestions or you just want to check out more stories, visit the website. That's thekfinancial.com. And don't forget to subscribe. You can also find us on all social media platforms at the K Financial. And you can find me at Withadong.